We're going to continue here in the story of Christmas as told to us by the Holy Spirit through Dr. Luke. And we saw in a little bit of the background of the book of Luke and of Dr. Luke that he is more than likely a Gentile, and if so, he is the only Gentile penman of the Scripture, the only one. And that's pretty interesting, pretty special, and God is like that. And also a number of different aspects of uniqueness to the Gospel of Luke. Without it, there's so much, even around the Christmas story, that we would not know. But God wanted us to know these details, and so he has included it in his holy word. And he used Dr. Luke, a physician, to pen these words. And, of course, the book of Acts as well, which is a beautiful and wonderful book telling us so much about the early church and about the Lord in his work there. And so some special pages of Scripture we have before us as we look at the Christmas story. Last week we saw how Zacharias was serving God at the temple and his godly wife were old. They had never had a child. And they desired to have a child, but decades had passed. Many decades had passed. They were well stricken in years. You'll find your place here in the first chapter of Luke. But God tells Zacharias, as he's serving at the temple, he tells him that he and his wife are going to be with child. It's going to be a special child. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth, and even from his mother's womb, actually. From his mother's womb, verse 15 tells us. And he's going to go before the Messiah, verse 17 says. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John, who became known as John the Baptist because he called people to repentance and he baptized those who believed. And so John was given that nickname. And he faithfully served God and he faithfully prepared the way. John came just a few months before Jesus would be born, just several months. But today, we learn about, Elizabeth was in her sixth month of pregnancy with John, the angel Gabriel was sent to a virgin named Mary. We pick up the story in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. The Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer here this morning. Father, we thank you for the holy words of Scripture that reveal in greater detail these special truths relating to our redemption, relating to the hope and the only hope we ever have of salvation. Lord, I'm thankful that Jesus came. He willingly humbled himself, took on human flesh, such a humble way and such a holy way. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand these truths deeper and guide our time here. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. In Elizabeth's sixth month, notice that in verse 26, the Bible says in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Now, we might not know that clearly from that verse, but then if you look at verse 36 of the same chapter, verse 36, it says, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." So, Elizabeth, of course, lived a ways away, probably several days' journey or more in the hill country of Judah. And so there had not been the communication. Mary had not learned the miracle of Elizabeth with child. This miracle had not yet gotten to Mary, who was a cousin to Elizabeth. And so the angel Gabriel, as he not only takes time here to fulfill God's word and reveal to Mary how she's found favor with God and how she will bring forth a child, but Mary also learns that her old cousin Elizabeth is with child, a special child, a miracle child as well, who would be John. But let's consider closely Mary for a moment. Mary. Now, Mary is not to be worshipped. No person is. No saint is. The Bible calls all believers saints. Not all of us are saintly. But I'll tell you what. And nor was Mary. Mary was a sinner. She needed the Savior too. But she was a godly woman. She was a godly young woman. She desired to honor God in her life. She had been pure with her body sexually. She has sought to obey God. And aren't you thankful that God uses vessels, even though we're not perfect? But God still uses people. He's used people down through the ages from many different ones we could think of. But I want to look at Mary for a moment here and see that she was a woman, clearly, of faith in the Lord. A woman of faith in the Lord. In fact, at response to the angel's message, although she's overwhelmed, she says, you know, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She yields herself to God. She trusts Jehovah. She believed the faithfulness of Jehovah, the God of her forefathers, the God of David, the God of Abraham. She trusted in the true and living God. God chose to use her. I want to point out here, as the angel Gabriel reveals that she has been highly favored. Look at verse 28. The angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. Highly favored, the Lord is with thee." Also repeated here in verse 30 is again, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." In Mary's startled condition here, the angel reveals that she does not need to fear, but God's favor is being poured out on her, and she is going to be blessed among women. To be used of God to bring the Messiah, the chosen one of God, into the world. I want to point out, Mary is chosen for service by God to be a blessing to all the world. Mary is chosen here by God, not to the exclusion of the rest of humanity, but for the benefit of the rest of humanity. This is just like God. God's choosing of individuals, and we could look at a number, and I'll mention some here in a moment, but God's choosing is for the benefit of the rest of humanity. God here, you know, is not quote-unquote playing favorites, but in the sense he's found a vessel that he can use. He's found a willing vessel and a holy vessel that he can use and accomplish his good purposes. Mary already was seeking God. Mary already was walking with God. Mary already was cultivating a heart for God, and God desires to work through this godly woman. Notice, if you will, Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke 2, verse 25. The scripture says, now we go to, we're zipping forward in the story to when Jesus is being dedicated at the temple in Jerusalem. In chapter 2, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And so Simeon, a godly man. Verse 28, we'll skip down to, then took he, this is Simeon taking Jesus, the little baby, then took he him up in his arms, can't you see it, and blessed God. Here's an old godly man, Simeon, and he takes Jesus in his arms, and he praises God, and this is what he says, verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. In other words, Lord, it's time for me to go. I know my journey is coming to an end. And he says, let me depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Notice verse 31. Would you read verse 31 with me? Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Prepared the Savior for all people, the Bible says. Everyone, a light for the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. You see, God used Mary as a select vessel, as a chosen vessel. He said, you are favored. Favored for service, chosen for service. And God uses Mary to bring the Messiah into the world. God wants to use you also. God wants to use you also. Now, there are different responsibilities. There are different opportunities. There are different things. I can tell you for a matter of fact, God is not going to use you to bring the Messiah into the world. But God can use you to bring the Messiah to someone else. God can use you like he does the Bradleys to bring another soul to Jesus. God can use you. You see, I think about Noah. When I think about chosen people, God looked through the sinners of humanity and he said, even though Noah was a sinner, Noah found grace in his eyes. And God said, I'm going to work through Noah. And I'm going to tell Noah, hey, in this wicked generation, I want you to build a big ship, a big boat. And Noah, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. Do you know what a preacher does? He proclaims God's truth. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I am certain that Noah preached, turn to God, repent of your sin, there's going to be a big flood. God's bringing judgment upon the wickedness of this world. By the grace of God, Noah spared his family and his three daughters-in-law. But no one else got on the boat by their own choice. Noah, a chosen vessel, used of God. Redemption was available. I am convinced there was more room on the ark. I know there were a lot of animals, but I am convinced there was room for more. Yes, but no one else believed. They laughed him to scorn. I think about Abraham, chosen by God. Notice how he was chosen to be a blessing to the world. Look at Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. Of course, God, beginning the the nation of Israel here through Abraham, and of course Isaac and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, but Abraham being the start of this, and God saying that through Abraham's seed, he would fulfill these promises. And notice chapter 12 of Genesis, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great." Abraham, you're going to have the blessing of God. Abraham, your name is going to be great. "And thou," notice the last phrase of verse 2. Would you read it with me? "And thou shalt be a blessing." Blessed to be a blessing. You see, you are a blessed person. If you're sitting here in the benches of Victory Baptist Church, if you're able to tune in online to the online ministry of Victory Baptist Church, you know what? You are blessed. If you had the privilege to grow up hearing the Word of God, if Christmas is something you're familiar with, celebrating the birth of Jesus, not just opening gifts under a tree, but celebrating the birth of Jesus, the greatest gift ever given, you are blessed. You are blessed if you understand the gospel message, if you have come personally to faith in Jesus Christ. You are a blessed person. Your heaven is yours. Heaven is your destiny because of Jesus, because of faith in Jesus Christ. Well, Abraham believed God, and Abraham was used of God. He was a chosen of God. His name was great. Yes, he was blessed. Yes, but he was blessed to be a blessing. Notice verse 3. We're still in Genesis 12, verse 3. God says, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee." And now read it again with me. "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." All families. Did you know that your family is blessed because of Abraham and the promises God made to Abraham? He was blessed, yes. He was selected by God and used by God, and we're the recipients of that abundance of blessing. Blessed. All families of the earth would be blessed. Praise God. And so we see how God works. He works his purposes and plans through people. We could look at John as we've looked here in the Christmas story. John was chosen of God. The Bible tells us he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. God made some special choices there in John. And of course, he picked Zacharias and Elizabeth, who were a godly couple who knew how to pray and who sought God and served God faithfully. And you know what? God desired to bring John through their family, through their seed. And Elizabeth brings the forerunner, the preparer of the way into the world. Why? So that the world would be blessed. Look at Luke chapter 1. We're back here in Luke. Look at verse 13. "And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and shall call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." And I have to skip a few verses, verse 16, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Do you see that? Chosen of God to be a blessing to the world, to be a blessing to Israel. Verse 17, "And he shall go before him," that is the Messiah, "in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." We see how God worked. Skipping forward in chapter 1 to verse 76. Verse 76, Zacharias is praising God after the birth of John. And the scripture records, as Zacharias says, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness. You see, John came and preparing the way for the Messiah to come. And what was it for? It was to bring light to the world. It was to bring light to those who sit in darkness. Middle of verse 79, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child, speaking of John here, verse 80, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. John, chosen of God to be a blessing to the world. Can I present to you, friend, you are chosen of God to be a blessing to the world. Oh, it's a little different. I understand. You're not John. Even if your name were John, you're not John. You're not this promised one who would be the Elijah who would come. Yes, I understand that, but you are chosen of God to bring light to others. Jesus said in Matthew 5, ye are the light of the world. Now, he's the light, of course, but we who are his, we are selected by God to be a light in this world, to reflect the light of the sun, much like the moon, having no light of its own, is dependent completely upon the light of the sun. Otherwise, we would never see the moon. And our nights would be that much darker. But the moon receives the sun's light and reflects it. And that's what God wants us to do. Consider Luke 24, going to the end of the book of Luke. Verse 44, Luke 24, verse 44. We're diving in to a conversation Jesus is having with the disciples, Cleopas and probably his wife, on the road to Emmaus or at their home. And it says in verse 44, and it was about the sixth, I'm in the wrong chapter. Let me get to chapter 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, Jesus is talking, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Why? Why did it behoove Christ? Why was it necessary? Why was it so fitting? Why was it so compelling for Jesus to suffer and to die and to rise? Why? Verse 47 answers the question, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, where? Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And now would you read verse 48 together? And ye are witnesses of these things. Oh, friends, you, this Christmas, I want you to remember, Christmas isn't about getting, although we've gotten a lot. Christmas is about giving. I think that's the reason why so many gifts particularly are given. But friends, let's not get so merchandisey mindsetted that we miss the gift. The gift. The gift to be shared. The gift to be embraced. The gift to share with others. The gift that's a blessing to the world. In another passage, of course, some of Jesus' last words were, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature. God wants us to be a blessing to this world. Oh, friends, Jesus came. Yes, he came for you. Yes, he came for me, but he came for your stubborn coworker as well. He came for that old uncle of yours who's a tough character. Yes, he came. He loves your uncle. He came for the worst among us. He came to seek, as the scripture says, and to save that which was lost. Oh, the Lord Jesus is a great Savior. Can I tell you this morning, you are blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. Now, friend, if you don't know Christ, you can come to Him today. Maybe joining online, you can come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. You can call on Him and He will respond to a simple prayer of faith as you trust Jesus. How is it with you? If you know Christ, let's share the joy, the real joy of Christmas.